Welcome to Immigrant Hat Show. You're listening 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moret, adding local color to your airwave. Today our topic will be Islamophobia, and our guest today is Fawzia Heder, one of the Center for Interfaith Project board member, and Kani Abdullahi and Chanel Prudhomme, an executive assistant of Afro American Development Association. And let me start with Fawzia. And Fawzia, tell us a little bit about you, and let's introduce to your guest too, so they can learn more about you.
Hi, I'm Fawzia Heder. I'm an American of Pakistani descent. I've been living here for last 20 years. And I'm a doctor by profession, but I don't practice. And I'm a board member of Center for Interfaith Projects, and I'm also a member of Islamic Society of Fargo-Moorhead.
Wow, cool. Let me go with Chanel. Chanel, tell us about you.
I'm Chanel. I work with Afro-American Development Association as the executive assistant director. I'm Native American from the Turtle Mountain Indian Reservation, and I've been living here since I was 14.
Kani, let's go with you.
And hukung edang maasanta an wanaka do mele. And sasata wanin may bali ere magagay Kani Abdullah adangali ere. And an may baka dalada hi gobol ka bukol garan magal dhudur. Hadal may bali shagay hai and afro li shagay hai o may hakof afro umfolante gareo.
I'm Somalian. I don't understand what he's talking about. let's go through to the topic. And you know, and this morning I was listening one of the news and CBS Hochschild, and you know, they were having Ted Cruz there, and he said, like, you know, there was one O'Donnell asked him a quick question, and he said, and let me say the question, said, and what he said was, name one community, one city where we have a large group of radicalized Muslims. And this is what Ted Cruz has said. You have a communities, for example, in Minnesota, you have communities in Michigan with heavy concentration, and you have incidents of radical imams preaching jihadism, preaching Islamism. Fozia, you live in Minnesota, and do you think what Ted Cruz is talking about is correct?
No, he's not correct, obviously, because there's a lot of Muslims here and living in America, and if they were all radicalized and they were all terrorists, nobody would have been safe. And in New York, after Ted Cruz said that, head of the police department of the New York came out and rejected that and said that's how, that's un-American and that's not how we are.
Yeah, he said that's impractical. And Chanel, I know you normally work with basically a lot of, you know, like many Muslims, and you are a Native American. Do you heard about any radicalized Muslims or that stuff what Ted Cruz said? Tell us about the Muslims whom you work with. Who are they?
No, I haven't heard anything like that. I haven't seen anything like that. The Muslims I work with, they're all about peace. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, there is no...
Okay, the Muslims whom you work with, you know, the media framed Muslims as terrorists, and majority of the people Muslims whom you, the people whom you work are Muslims. Do you still also you phrase Muslims as terrorists?
No, I don't. I don't believe that. Not all. Not all. There's no.
Let me go to Fozia. Okay, Fozia.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing about the terrorists is that terrorists don't have any religion, and they attack. They don't discriminate. Recently, there was an attack in Turkey in which Muslims were killed. ISIS attacked Turkey. That's a Muslim country.
Ankara.
Ankara. Mm-hmm. And then there were terrorist attacks in Pakistan in which a lot of children were killed. Suicide attacks, bomb attacks. Then there is an attack in Brussels. So the violence does not discriminate and the terrorists don't discriminate. It's not about religion. It's about terrorists against the rest of the world. And let me tell you about the Muslims. I haven't come across a single Muslim while living in Fargo-Moorhead. And I go to the masjid too. And they're really strict practicing Muslims. Nobody has ever looked at ISIS and owned it or said that, oh, they are one of us or identify themselves with ISIS. We all are appalled, most of them, all of us. And for us, they are as alien to us as they are to anybody else who sees ISIS. Because they are mostly, Muslims are the target of this terrorism. Majority of the people killed in these attacks are Muslims.
And we heard about, you know, I just learned from, you know, some of the guys from Twitter and from Facebook that there was a, you know, an incident happened in Ankara, the way you said. And, you know, the media, they were not airing something like that. But when it comes to France, Brussels and United States, they kind of like quickly, you know, airing that stuff. You know, is it like terrorists, you know, it's applicable when they do something in Ankara or in Somalia or any Middle East country, it's applicable there. It's good they can do something there. But when it comes to Brussels, if they do something, you know, the world has to wake up.
This is about double standards of the media. What happens is that there was no day of like, we stand with Ankara or we stand with Peshawar when 145 kids were slaughtered.
Change your profile picture on your Facebook.
Change your profile picture or anything. But recently, you know, like in Ankara, there was a suicide attack and people died. But it's like a different standard. When something happens in Europe, then it is like somehow more, what should I say? It is given more importance and as compared to the lives lost in Western countries are somehow more valuable than the lives of people lost anywhere else in the world.
You know, and let me give you like what happened in, you know, Horn of Africa, in Kenya, basically. And you heard about Garissa University where being killed 150 students by, you know, the terrorists. And then there was incident again in France. It happened again. You know, it's kind of like, I came from Kenya. That's where I came from, basically. You know, I came to learn that when, you know, the incident of France came out, they say, change your profile picture on the Facebook. But Garissa, when they kill, the terrorists killed the 150 students, leave alone that one. Again, there was another one, you know, Al-Shabaab, they kill almost, I had about 90, you know, KDF soldiers who are protecting, you know, Somalis who wanted to get rid of this terrorist group. You know, I never heard about the news. You know, I just learned about from Kenya news. You do not see in the worldwide. Again, there was, I don't know if you heard about, there was a bus that came from Mandera, and then there was Christians and Muslims. And then, you know, when the terrorist group stopped the bus, you know, Muslims, they were exchanged, you know, they were giving out, like the Muslims women, they were giving out their hijab to other Christian guys to protect them. Did you heard about that?
No, but you don't hear that on the media. Mm. I think there's a basic reason for that whoever owns the media or controls the media controls the narrative too. And mostly you don't even hear any news about the rest of the world on CNN or Fox News or MSNBC. Mm. You only hear news about what's happening immediately in America or some few Western countries. I feel deprived of news, of global news, when I listen to the local channels. And maybe also because America is so isolated, you know, like geographically. And Kenya and those other countries, Africa, Asia, and Middle East is remote, you know.
Yeah.
So, and maybe those news don't matter to them. But when it happens in Europe, it hits home, closer to home. So that's why they, you know.
Does it mean people who are living there, they are not human beings?
No. Mm. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to figure out why is it so. And basically, it's about whoever controls the media controls the narrative. And if the media is Western media, they will give more importance to stuff happening in the West rather than the rest of the world, although it should not be like this. BBC is a little better. They give global coverage, but they are an older organization and they have been working for years. And if I really want to listen to global news, I would tune into BBC or Al Jazeera.
Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
Okay. And Chanel, let me come to you. You see what we are talking about, right? And Donald Trump is saying, some years, if he becomes president of the United States, that he's going to block Muslims to come to the United States. He has to do more investigation to them. You know, they will not be coming here until, you know, he solves what's going on. Is there any problems you feel with the Muslims?
I don't think so. That's just Donald Trump's personal opinions. I don't think there's any problems here. We get along great. We all work together.
As a Native American, do you like Muslims to come to the United States?
Yeah, why not? I mean, everyone else is here. Why can't they come? At least you guys aren't invading our country. You know, we invited you guys.
Oh, sure.
Big difference.
I had some, you know, guys, you know, from Muslims saying, if Trump become president, we'll move to Canada. What do you want to say about that?
Don't move. Why? You're going to look like you're running away from Donald Trump. Don't run away. You know, we'll just make a stand. We'll all come together eventually as one people, one community, all together as one.
And can it, if Trump become president, do you want to move to Canada?
Thank you for that. First, I wanted to. I think you guys don't mind that me speaking my mother tongue. Mm. I think Somali has two national languages, you know, Maya and Mahatiri.
Mm.
I think my first show I speak Mahatiri. That's why I select now to speak
Maya. Mm-hmm.
So don't make funny for that, please.
Oh yeah, you know I didn't understand what you're talking about. I see what is he talking? You know, thank you for that. You know,
okay, letting anyway,
us know.
If
Trump become president, you want to speak English? If Trump become president, do you want to move to Canada?
Trump hobo madweni wadank kunagada anamay faday en horta muhiimada may baataha en Trump may bal ko yahin ay badan oo dadka dhatiiska abuuraw walaw seeraw en may nagatay wal oo dadka han jiidan wal dadka injeelan orlanka aragna hata ku horna madaxweyna oo Mareykanka elanka aragna anama dang may ba ilaataha haddii turaan wadanka madaxweynuhu ku nagado horta si iska dawo intiisan suubi doon oo isku fiirsada doona haddana mayba kale ilaa taantiis madaxweynuhu maahan gala doona haddii fikraday ku hadala tan kale dad badan jarta oo ku hadalay eray Kennedy in bahaan turaan haddii kooy wadanka ku taba doon dad eray jarta madan mayba erfaday mayba taaha anti dadku hagajiidaha ilaankan dadka haddii neeb dadka midubka madaw neeb anti wadanka hagajiida islay dadkaas ka doorade haddii la doorado walaa iska hadalay wal madaxweynuhu kulli ka dhagama koromee tan kale muslimiinta tiidi hodi ku hadala mayba jartaa in argagixisada diinmileysada hor lan sheegi meel badan aan ku jartaa magaaga muslimiinta halayeen elbore midilaa gudiga muslimiinta wal badan lan jeeside me afrika ku jartaa saasaato yurub ku jartaa amerika ku jartaa madan waa mayn aragaha inta dadka birshiyan gabadaayaan sa muslimiinta dhan dhaawacaan anti argagixisan gabadaayaan muslimiinta mad badan ka nagaayeen mad badan sheegeen anti argagixisada aan lahayn diin oo dad diin leenahayn.
Okay.
Thank you for that.
All right. Thank you, Kani. Let me come back to Fozia. And Fozia, and I know that you are one of the, you know, a Muslim community who normally participate in many community events. And also you are the organization, you know, you are one of member of it, the Center for Interfaith Project, who are part of the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor. You know, if I can say right, they were the planners of that. And the guys who were planning with you, most of them, some of them are Christians, right?
Christians, Jews, Buddhists, atheists. They were all there at the masjid door welcoming all the Muslims and the community members.
And how do you feel about participating in all that? And since you are the most, you know, icon migrant person who is helping, you know, these things to happen, you know, at least people live in Fargo, Moret area that they will not, you know, get the perspective that they have in the media. How will you change that perspective?
I've been living here for 20 years, and what I've made sure is that I put myself out there for everyone. You know, I met my neighbors. I didn't isolate myself. If anybody had any questions, I would welcome the questions. After school, I would wait and chat with the parents of my other kids, you know. My kids were the only non-whites in the whole school. That was in 1996. So I've been doing it for a while. And, you know, like, I'm not afraid. And if they have any questions, I just go there and say, okay. They would ask me, I would just... And right now, what I'm doing is that I'm affiliated with an organization which is close to my heart, which helps improve understanding between different faiths, because there's one world where we have to live and we have to kind of, like, live together, you know. And there's no other way about it. Like, race and religion might divide us, but humanity unites us. And absolutely, what I've been recently doing is what the Muslims, in response to Islamophobia, what happens is that usually fear is like fear of the unknown, you know, something which is alien to you and something you don't understand. So what we Muslims are doing is that we open the door. The first Meet Your Muslim event was very successful. People were asking for a second one. Whoever went to the first one had very positive feelings after they left. And I've met people, and every time they say they are so thankful that they came and that it was an eye opener and they understood what Muslims were all about. And then they asked for a second event. We did a second event, and that was also well attended. And those people who have come and met the Muslims and come to the masjid went away with a very positive image of the Muslims, because they understood what they are, and they are not listening to the media, but meeting Muslims one-on-one. And what I've been recently doing is going out in this community and giving talks. Whoever invites me, I'll go there and I'll give my perspective and try to get rid of the misconceptions that are there with respect to Islam.
Okay, you are living here for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And and you have not seen, you know, any problem being did by any Muslim?
No, I mean, we all are like very comfortable living in America, and we've come here for the same reasons that the initial migrants who came to America, or any migrant who has come here for a better living and to, you know, for economic reasons or for a better lifestyle.
And is there any difference between the time you came to the United States and right now?
Right now, there's, I mean, even though I've lived through September 11th, but the fear and the Islamophobia that is present nowadays is a little more, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like it's a little more than even September 11th, post-September 11th days. Because when people in power, like presidential candidates, single out people on the basis of religion, then people listen to that. Because there's somebody in power talking about it, then he must be right, you know. It doesn't help that, and it is very irresponsible of Donald Trump or Ted Cruz or any other to single out people on the basis of religion. It is anti-American, and this is not what America is.
Yeah, and okay, when we come back, we're going to have a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about still the current Islamophobia that's going on the whole country. And we're going to have a short music, and when you come back, we'll focus about that.
Yep.
Thank you.
My truck's DNA can resist. Sit up. J.A. na mada bitch ndio zile kwa masanduku JB isi dumba ni jasho mafans na J.C. ta hit Kampala paka Tanzania kwa JD boom shaka boom hii ni dumba la AA hundada ni tukumdara baby isi remix yetu ni remix of the year those of us in middle opinion sema the A have it super rapper super singer numa sana utashanga asana sana shukran thumbs up dada kweli ume jibaba jibaba akuna dumba la dumba la zi nachafanga on the mic, I'll be taking off, let me bust a verse on these rappers who claiming my style is so set the bar and I break it off, with the game and I'm skating off, realest rap in the game and I got a feeling of pain, so put your hands in the air, wave on side to side, looking fresh from head to toe, I'm feeling fly, spot your girl looking at me and she wearing a smile, so it's only right I take an ever waving goodbye, when I kill the song and I'ma bear the remix, spitting bars that out of this world, something from Venus, you might think that it's easy cause I make it look breezy, but I started from nothing, it turned into something, so all my party people in the club, let me he'll clap. No tricks, no games, just a skill to make you clap. Dumbala, madi aka Tumbala, aka Tangugeuka ladies usi dumbala, situ inachomoka katikati ya mcheso, kichwa inachomoka imevaa kileso, mina stress na, juna jua chini ya maji, marapa wangapi nimementa, na usi sweat na, juku kwa msi dumbala kama mimi unafaa kudumia kakaa 10 plus.
10 plus 11, yeah, wrong town, amen, 111, yeah, ah, kwa hii dunia baridi, uspona young king, bona TNA. Umse ni mkale, umse halale. Too big to act small, hakuna dumba, hakuna
dumbala, dumbala, even in the sky, don't care what they say.
Wanasema dumba, kumbe ni jasho, sema
fala, fala, eh.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPP, LP, Fargo, Morehead, adding local color to your airwaves. Still, we're talking Islamophobia, and I have my guest, Fozia Haider, who is the board member of Center for Interfaith Project, and my other colleagues. And as we're talking about the Islamophobia, and I have one question I wanted to ask you. Did you face any rhetoric or name calling from your neighbors?
My neighbors have been usually good. And like when Trump came out and said that thing about Muslims, the next day, my elderly neighbor, one house down, he came over and he brought me a jar of honey. And he said, this is who we are not.
Wow.
He says, this is not who we are. Mm-hmm. And if there is any problem, come to me. We are here. Mm-hmm. And you are as American as the rest of us. And this is un-American. But those are the people who know me. They are my neighbors. But once or twice, stuff has happened. Mm-hmm. Like I was out for a bike ride and my friend, I don't wear a hijab, so mm-hmm. I don't stand out, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a friend of mine who was riding a bike with me and she had her hijab on. Mm-hmm. And we were on 52nd Avenue South and there was a car that went past us and someone shouted from that, go back where you came from. Mm-hmm. So I was just shocked. I said, you go back where you come from. I belong here. I'm American. I don't know if he heard me. He had gone by then. Mm. But other than that, and not much, but I don't wear a hijab. But I have noticed that when I do wear a hijab and go out grocery shopping after the masjid, there's a totally different experience than when I don't. It's like people become a little wary and they're a little more distant and not as friendly as they are. Some are more friendly, but there are some people who are just kind of like...
It's like, you know, when we go to school, you know, students ask you, where do you come from? And I say, I came from Minnesota. And then they say, no, where do you come from? You see, it's kind of...
I have the same thing. Like, yeah. Even though, you know, like I don't wear a hijab or anything, but they ask me, yesterday it happened to me at Cashwise, the woman asked me, where are you from? I said, from Fargo. She says, no, but where are you originally from? So, of course, I had to say, Pakistan. And then she says, welcome. And I said, I laughed. I said, I've been here for 20 years, you know. I'm not new here, you know. And I'm an American citizen, too. She says, oh, well, that's nice. But they all assume that everybody here is a refugee, you know, or a recent immigrant.
You should have just smiled and said, thank you.
I did say that, but then I also told her that I've been here for 20 years.
And do you think Trump is a dictator?
He's not a dictator, but he has fascist tendencies. I mean, he's dictator-esque, I should say. I don't know.
You know, the reason why I'm saying is, you know, if you go back to, you know, Africa and Middle East, you know, dictators, when they're coming to power, they normally hide, you know, what they want to do. You know, they will say, we'll build this, we'll do this. Not only Middle East, all the world, you know. But Trump is someone who came out and, you know, he's saying whatever in his mind, you know, saying whatever he wants, you know. So it's kind of like it's different from other dictators.
Let me talk about that a little bit. Mm. Everybody's shocked that Trump is here and he's saying all these things and how can this happen in America? Mm. What has been happening is this is you reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. He is the product of all the Tea Party and the extreme right-wing rhetoric that has been going on and brewing for so many years. Mm. The vitriolic, you know, vitriol that the extreme right-wing radio hosts like Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck, they have been spewing all this stuff. Trump is just a little more crass and he's talking openly about it. What other people sugarcoat, you know? Mm-hmm. He's just saying, and that's why he's got so much support, because that appeals to a base, you know, that has been kind of like felt like they don't have a voice. So this has been going on for a while since the Tea Party started and the Republican Party went more to the extreme right, and then they let people like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh have the microphones and speak to the people and say all these things that Trump is saying. Mm-hmm. It's not new, but no presidential candidate has ever said it before, and Trump is just saying what, you know, people have been listening to on the airwaves for so many years.
You know, the Vice President Joe Biden said, thanks to Trump, he exposed, you know, how Americans are being racist. You know, he said that, I was watching for one of the, you know, news, and that's what he said.
Well, they have been, yeah, there was some like undercurrent, and he represents a group of people who felt like their voices haven't been heard, and he speaks for them. It's just that since Barack Obama came into power, there is a element of there's a group of people who felt very insecure with Barack Obama becoming the president. Americans' racial history, you know, and racial discrimination is not that old. You know, 1960s is not that far away. So there are people who lived through that. They are, you know, they are alive, and you know, probably, you know, like he appeals to those people.
So they are wondering how Barack Obama became president up to now.
Yeah, yeah. There was one guy I met recently at a church where I was giving a talk, and he came up to me after the talk and he said that America has had their first Sunni president. And I said, who? And he said, Barack Obama. I said, no, but he's a practicing Christian. And he was adamant and insistent. He says, no, he's because his father was a Sunni Muslim in Kenya, so he is a Sunni Muslim. I said, he's a practicing Christian, and his father never lived with him. But he was adamant, and I said, okay, you can believe what you believe, but he is a Christian, not a Muslim.
I believe that, you know, he didn't live with his grandma, Obama's grandma, Sarah. She lives in Kenya, and she's a Muslim. She goes to Hajj. Him, you know, he came out public, and he said he's Christian. There's no way a Muslim can go public and say I'm Christian. We know that, and we understand that.
Yeah, and he was raised by his grandfather and grandmother in Hawaii, and by his mother and in Indonesia. And his father was not some, his biological father was not some very practicing Muslim either, you know.
Do you think that if Obama, when Obama term end, do you think there is there any way, any black or anybody from any other color that will going to be president after Obama?
Obama paved the path for that. It can happen, and it's like growth, you know. Like people felt insecure. The I would say the I don't know what to call them. You know, like I won't call them racists, but there's a white minority who felt threatened by a black president. And after President Obama became president and he got reelected, the number of private militias multiplied tenfolds because they thought there was going to be a revolution, you know, and there's going to be camps and, you know, and Obama is a hidden Muslim and suddenly he'll decree Sharia in America, which never happened. But I'm thinking that they'll work this out of their system once Obama is gone. And this was bound to happen. That's why Trump is the reaction of Obama.
Make America great again.
America has always been great. I don't know what world they are living in. America has always been great and it always will be great.
Chanel, whom do you vote, Trump or Cruz?
I don't vote.
You don't vote?
I don't vote. I won't vote.
You have to practice your right. You
know? I am practicing my right as a Native American not to vote.
Why?
Because I don't support any of them. I wouldn't vote for any of them. I just
Do you normally support Democrat Party?
Normally, occasionally.
Occasionally. Yes. But you need to exercise your right, you know, you need to leave the past behind so that at least you can practice your right now and share your cake with the people whom you are living with. Do you think you can do that?
No. I won't vote for anyone. If it's all the Republicans, I'm not going to vote for anyone.
So you don't want to vote either Trump or Cruz?
No, why would I? The vote won't count anyway.
What about Bernie or Hillary?
Whichever one wins the race. And if the out of the Democrats and Republicans, I would vote Democrat.
So you are pro-Democrat?
Yeah.
All right. Hey.
Hi.
Kenny.
Hi.
What's up? I can see you're sleeping. What's up?
No, tell us. I'm okay.
So And did, I think you normally met with several Muslims mm-hmm. In the office.
Mm-hmm.
Did they talk about basically Trump or Cruz, or did they talk about anything about the current political dilemma?
And that can be look how maybe we and but then maybe we and Hillary Clinton. I think we don't to what yeah, that Islam has no more. Yeah, and the but then Oyong Gavan Turam, but they are quadrang and I said, Timothy Nagar Unoran and Tukutavan or Sasarang. Like in Badana making Nagin that Ojil, that Kab other that can my dam that Koi, Eingo, and Tibasabor Gadan or the other Antibasabor Gadan Yokurate, maybe Jerin said you embedding until Hillary Clinton or the young. Badana Medio debates will be young or Fiske Koyang or Siasat Kuhadalayang. And my fear sedai and medio debate kejerman dat kemado inam tartama debate ke soobaan fear sedai medio fear san hirabti anis koya la balan ki tager sanay ku hadale hibil halay way ki deedi hibil sar lu wariye leey laakin badana may ku hadalay arantaha suuq yaal taaso eh en arantaha turam sheega oo e madan mitu surumin ceeb ka arantay us jeediya oo meelo birshoot intii us wal hun qobana ku herbal ha weerayo oo se macna qallaas ku dhiyaas wala sa ku hadalayan badana birsho midii fikrada dib badan may ki leeyna and then turam yak guulay sidoon wadanka sid saasada ma muuqat birsho ma bak leeyin sidii erang ilaan sidii aan meel midii oo erang aan meel fadhiyay dheegay may leeyin he en may bang malayaan he ilaan kan inta wadanka guulay sababtoo taasna ma adeesay u soo naceey muujiya yaatan od badan haysada though I don't have a right to vote by the way thank you so much
okay and Fauzia let me come back to you then if Trump win do you want to move to Canada
no
You don't want to move Canada?
No, I'm an American and I'll stay here. And there are people, there are a lot of Americans. Not everybody supports Trump. There's a minority that supports Trump. And there's, you know, this is your country. Why would you leave it?
Did you participate in the caucus, which is going on right now?
No, but I did vote, you know. Whenever there has been votes, I did, but I didn't caucus.
So you are pro-Democrat?
Of course.
And whom are you supporting? Are you supporting Hillary or Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders? Yeah.
So, but you can see there's a woman running for president. So, how things that you're supporting Bernie Sanders when you see, you know, a woman like you running, you know, to become, you know, looking to become, you know, the president of the United States?
So you think it will come like gender issues?
Yeah, no, it's not about like it shouldn't be like if it's a woman, I should just vote for a woman because she's a woman, or if there's like a black guy or a, you know, like a Muslim standing, then I'll just vote for him because he's a Muslim. I'll vote on the issues. And I feel like Bernie represents more, speaks for me, and Hillary does too. And if Hillary is the candidate, then I will support her too. But Bernie has a record, you know, and Hillary Clinton has changed her stance recently. Before she was center right, then she became center, and then now she says she's left, and now she calls herself a progressive, which is good. So Bernie helped her push more towards progressive values and more towards the left, because that's what's popular. But Bernie Sanders doesn't take any money from a special interest group, which is really what appeals to me. So he's not beholden to anyone. And
so you believe Hillary is being controlled by the super PAC while
I think she'll, she'll do okay. But, you know, like when someone gives you millions of dollars, then they expect something in return.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know about that? Do you know about the super PAC?
I know. I used to heard about that, but I think I agree with that, by the way.
Chanel, do you know about Super PAC?
No.
You don't know about that?
I don't follow politics.
Do you follow politics?
No.
So you don't have to worry about it. Okay, like the Muslims whom you work with, do they tell you when they come to you to the office, do they talk about Trump or Cruz, or do they care about that? Or
yeah, they do. I think some of them kind of worry, you know, and some of them say, oh, we're going to move to Canada, oh, you know, but I just tell him, oh, don't worry, Donald Trump won't be president. I don't think he'll make it.
Do you think Trump will not be president?
No.
He'll never be president?
I don't think so, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Why? Because Trump has the majority right now.
I think it's more of a show for now. But when it comes down to it, who do we want running our country? People are not going to let Trump run our country.
The way Trump is speaking, most of the, you know, political analysts say this is not American way. So what is the American way?
We want someone that we can all trust and that we can all believe in, not just, oh, I'm going to, you know, put a big wall up and block Mexico off, right? Is that what he said? Something like that?
Yeah.
Or, you know, going to send, you know, not let any more Muslims in the country or whatever. It's like, go back to your, where are you from? What's your history?
So
where's your ancestry?
So next
you
will
can't
be
do that.
When he build the wall from Mexico, then he'll going to say, hey, every neighbor build a wall to protect from your neighbor.
Right? Yeah, like, we won't accept that.
Mm, or you're going to say, if you're living with any Muslim, build a wall. will it be like that?
No, it won't. Mm.
So you think that you can live with Muslims?
I know I can. I have. I do.
Do you have a Muslim friend?
Yes, I do. She's my absolute best friend.
For how long?
9 years now.
Did she talk about what's going on? Or
oh, she's very political, and she tries to have conversations with me all the time about it, and I'm just like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Did she support ISIS or?
No. Yeah. She's not a terrorist or anything like that. I mean,
when she heard about terrorists, what did she normally say?
She would get upset, you know, because people would, like, for example, if she went to the bank to get money, they would question her, what's this money for? Where is it coming from? What do you need it for? And they would document the transactions, and that's never happened before. And she was like, I'm just here to withdraw money, and you need to ask me all these questions. I'm not a terrorist. Mm. I'm just a Muslim coming to get my money, and that shouldn't even matter that I'm Muslim. I'm a customer.
Okay, let me phrase like this. When she heard about ISIS did this, you know, or Al-Shabaab did this, what did she normally say? Did she support? Is she a pro ISIS, or what did she normally condemn that?
Of course, she condemns it.
What did she say when she heard about that?
She just says it's not acceptable. She just, yeah, it's not acceptable. That's not who Muslims are. That's not what Islam is. And how dare they say that?
Thank you, Chanel. And let me go back to Fawzia. And Fawzia, how do you want a Muslim community to approach Islamophobia?
I just want to add a little bit to what she said.
Sure.
I just want to say that what Trump is un-American because America is made up of immigrant nation. So him saying even his own wife is a foreigner and she has a thick accent, you know. Mm. So he has immigrants as his immediate family. So, I mean, he knows that and he still talks about it. So Muslims fighting Islamophobia is that... what we did in the masjid, open house, meet your Muslim neighbors and Muslims going out in the community and giving their perspective and meet your neighbors, you know, and give your perspective, who you are. When people get to know you on a human level, one-on-one, then they understand who you are. And basically, it's that no religion is a terrorist or otherwise. The terrorists are... call themselves Muslims, but they're called Kharijis. Kharijis means the excluded ones. So the rest of the Muslim community sees them as the excluded one. When a terrorist attack happens, we are as appalled and upset, and we all sit, I mean, I'm a Muslim. We curse ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab or anyone else.
I agree.
But what I'm saying is that what I'm doing is I'm going out into the community and whoever wants, I give them talks and help them understand about the basics of the Islam. A lot of people don't even know what Islam really is. So they are surprised when they listen to who we are and what our beliefs are. It's very similar. But anyway, in America, religion should not matter. You're not judged by your religion, you know. And... what we are doing right now is good. We are here talking on airwaves, and we are putting ourselves out there. Usually, the terrorists make the headlines, but you know, because anything outrageous is newsworthy. But you know, Muslims living their lives peacefully, doing their own jobs, raising their own kids is not newsworthy. So,
it's like what is happening right now, you know. When there's a mass shooting and that stuff, like, you know, if a Christian did that, you know, they don't blame the religion. But when any Muslim, you know, like a mental, that have a mental, you know, disorder or that stuff, or do anything, they normally go back and, you know, blame the religion. Why is it that happening? Why Muslims only?
Because, I mean, that's what I felt too, that, yeah. okay, even if it's a mental health issue, or like the first thing happens is as soon as there's a Muslim involved in any crime or criminal activity, there's the label terrorist.
Like,
yeah, and like, there's other mass shootings, and but then they don't put the whole Christianity on defensive, or don't say, oh, this guy, Christian, shot up so many people, or a Hindu did this, or a Sikh did that, you know. Mm-hmm. But whenever it's a Muslim, then the whole Islam, you know, you have to come out and defend your religion and talk about your faith. They're the criminals in all religion, and these people are just criminals.
Like what happened in Brussels when I was watching the news, you know, immediately I saw that, I said, they were going to blame us. You know, they were going to say Muslims. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we feel, you know, we condemn what's happening. But, you know, basically what we say is they were going to, you know, say about, this is Muslims did this, they were going to attack our religion.
But Obama said a really good thing, and it's people like Obama and other leaders, like even the Brussels, the leadership came out and said it's not about Islam. And Obama said it too, that we are not at war. We are at war with terrorists, not a religion, which is good to hear from world leadership. Mm. And they are understanding what is going on, and they're trying to correct it, which is a good thing. And I hope it people understand that. And these guys are not even good practicing Muslims. They have blurred the line. They are petty criminals. If you see their record, that they were involved in crimes, petty crimes, and suddenly they decide to, you know, become terrorists, because it's just like joining a gang, and it's more like a gangster thing. There's a book by a guy named Scott Atran, and it's about called Talking to the Enemy. It describes how it's more like a gangster mentality than more about that than religion. Mm. It's not about religion. It's mostly a political ideology. And, you know, these are petty criminals. They're not even good practicing Muslims. They have criminal records.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, this morning I was reading an article saying that the guys who did something in Brussels, they were having criminal record and that stuff. Some of them, they were being jailed. We don't know who released. The article was talking about such stuff. And I agree, you know, Muslim, you know, real Muslim doesn't do something like that. And
yeah, even September 11th, that Atta and these other guys, they were partiers. I mean, they went to the clubs and partied and had girlfriends and multiple girlfriends. Mm. And a practicing Muslim would not do that. Mm. And in the France attack, there was the terrorist. There was they had their own musical group, and they were like a rock band or something. Some of the members, these guys were member of a rock band, and the woman with them, I mean, a practicing Muslim woman wouldn't be doing that, you know?
Absolutely. And I know you're helping the community who need help, and you know, and for your plan, do you think that, like, the one you did, the Meet Your Muslim Neighbor, the one which, one the organization whom you are a member of, was part of it, do you think that you're going to do more community awareness and, you know, people learning about Muslims? And
yeah, there is a lot of outreach, and there's a very positive response from the community. And I'm doing more talks, you know, I'm going to different places and giving talks. And there's my friends who are doing it too. No, it's not just me. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be like interfaith panel discussions. Mm. And when I've been on a radio talk show, Flag, you know, the conservative one, he called me in for an hour interview. And after that, you know, they were thankful because they didn't even know the basics. And people asked me all kinds of questions, and I answered them. Mm. And when they get to hear from a Muslim, and when they find out what real Islam is about, people have a very positive reaction, because these are all Abrahamic faiths, and they're very similar. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. But people just don't know that. And, you know, they see terrorists, and then if someone in power like Donald Trump says that, they're terrorists, you know, then ordinary people who don't have any understanding of Islam or anything else, they're going to believe him. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what we are trying to counter, you know.
And if Ted Cruz become president, police will going to patrol you.
Not my house. I don't think so.
Thank you for the good work you're doing for Zia, and we really appreciate. And do you feel do you think that you can call FMR a place that you can call home?
Yes, it is my home because I've been here for 20 years. And I come from the city of Peshawar in Pakistan. And sometimes I mix up the names. When I'm talking about Fargo, I call it Peshawar. And when I'm talking about Peshawar, I call it Fargo. So in my head, that's a Freudian slip. Like, it's the same to me. And this is home. And I would be here and not anywhere else. I've traveled all over America. And I've been to Chicago and big cities. But Fargo is home. And I don't want to live anywhere else but here.
Oh, thank you. And do you think you'll be coming back to the show again?
If you want me.
Oh, thank you for coming, and we really appreciate. And do you have any suggestion or any comments? And how do you feel about coming to the show and talking about Islamophobia, which is going on right now?
I mean, this was a good effort, and I didn't know this was going on, and you invited me, and I didn't know what to expect, and it has been a very positive experience, and I like that there is an immigrant radio here as a voice of the immigrants and minority. I really appreciate it.
And you can come here, you know, and sometimes, you know, you can call me and say, Hakun, you know, I want to run this show today, and you can come and preach and talk about, you know, who Muslim are, and also you can talk about the successful, you know, immigrants, what they're doing. You know, immigrants, they're not Syrian. When they came here, they're not Syrian. They just go to school and, you know, they go to work. You can come and run this show too, and I can give you that opportunity.
No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That it'll be my pleasure.
Yeah. And let me go back to Chanel. And Chanel.
Yes.
I can see you're sleeping. And
no, I'm not.
Oh, okay. Well, do you have any comment or any suggestion?
I think it went really good today. I learned a lot of the stuff that I didn't know, which is good. I like, there's always something you can learn. So, yeah, thanks for coming, Fawzia.
What do you want to tell if a Muslim person say, hey, I'm moving to Canada?
Don't move. Stay here. This is your home too.
Kenny, any comments, suggestion?
إذن كمان نجا إن FM كيو ده كان أرد إن أنا عزومي كل جو إذن كمان نجا ميرلوك واضح لو هاي تي أو نعطيك جود بي سدا نسدين وشل بيجي بيشجعني عمل بدن إذن ما سنين على وداه.
You are listening 88.1 FM KPPLP Fargo Moorhead. Thank you guys for coming today, and if you wanna send for us any message, you can for the Migrant Heart Show with your comment or question, you can call me 701-729-1001. Again, my phone number is 701-729-1001, and my email is info@aasaus.org. You can leave for me any comment or any suggestion, and our Facebook page or my Facebook account is Hakun Dabar.
I'm a straight up Kenya. I don't know, we're making a girl in love gone. This is great song. I'm a straight up Kenya. Proud to be Kenya. How we rock and how we bring it all as Kenya. Just the way we love it, how we keep it as Kenya. We eat, sleep, Kenya. Behave as a Kenya. My sexy ladies know how to put it out. Kenya. How we rock and how we bring it all as Kenya. Army flow Jamaican, kick goals like Brazilians. Keeping reggae music flowing, burning like Olympians. Same time for American, same time Kenyan. Army stand straight, you can ask my Italian designer. Three suit and the Rolex on my right hand. Mike on my right hand, the ladies on the front. Telling on the haters that I'm better, they are tough. Not traffic flames on my ear or the dark. Side get the vibe and you try make your order. Try get the lyric and you pump your measure. Man, you better keep it cool. Real sound is on the truth. Keeping it swinging. Just like the view, I'm a straight up Kenya. Proud to be Kenya. How we rockin', how we bring it all as Kenya. Just the way we love it, how we keep it as Kenya. We eat, sleep, Kenya. Behave as a Kenya. My sexy ladies know how to put it out. Kenya. How we rockin', how we bring it all as Kenya. I wonder why some people wanna pull me down a bit. I wonder why them gaining by them lying and shit. Never take the time to see them holy hypocrites. Always coming at us with them whole bug of tricks. I'm telling them once, I'm telling them twice again. God given a body can change. So you better love your partner as yourself. Create and I'm coming up straight to your brain. Give them the grace, mind your beats. Show them that you're proud and your mind in your peace. I'm a straight up Kenya, proud to be Kenya. How we rocking, how we bring it all as Kenya. Just the way we love it, how we keep it as Kenya. We eat, sleep, Kenya. Behave as a Kenya. My sexy ladies know how to put it out. Kenya. How we rocking, how we bring it all as Kenya. Making up my country and I'm making up a tit. God bless, we get more of everything sweet. Let's talk to one another and cooperate. Every Kenyan everywhere,
Big up loud, every Kenyan everywhere. You know, say you're proud, every Kenyan everywhere. Big up loud, every Kenyan everywhere. You know, say you're proud.
Pose, pose, pose.
Give him the signal, give him the signal, give him the signal.
Pose, pose, pose.
Rock away,
pose,
rock away,
pose,
rock away.
We keep it tight,
Kenya.